Chapter 1. Dahlia. The interior of the stage was stifling as it waited for another passenger. I fanned myself with my hand, but the August heat was not diminished by the shade the ceiling provided. The only reprieve was the breeze that stirred once the horses began to move. It seemed I would ride to Carver Junction alone, and that suited me fine. The leather flaps were rolled up, and the wind cooled my damp skin. Sweat trickled down between my breasts. I undid a few buttons at the top of my blouse. Just that little bit was helpful. Next, I tugged at my long skirt and pulled it up over my knees. Ah, bliss. It was markedly cooler this way. Not very modest or the least bit ladylike, but no one could see me. We traveled less than a minute when the stage came to an abrupt halt. I would have slid onto the dirty floor if I hadn't braced my foot against the facing bench seat. A man appeared in the window.
"Miss Lennox, this is a surprise," the voice said.
With the sun behind him, his face was in shadow beneath the brim of his hat, and I couldn't tell who he was. But I knew that voice. The hair at the back of my neck rose at the dark rasp. I realized while I couldn't see him, he most certainly could see me. I shoved the hem of my skirt back down and began fiddling with the open buttons at my neck in mortification. The door opened and he climbed inside, folding his large frame to keep from bumping his head. Removing his hat, he glanced at me, a wide grin on his face.
"No need to write yourself for my benefit. I assure you, I will enjoy the trip so much more if you don't."
My mouth fell open at the sight of Garrison Lee. What was he doing here? I asked him as much. He arched his brow at my less than conciliatory tone, then settled himself across from me. The stage lumbered into motion.
"I'm going to Carver Junction, the same as you, Sugar Plum," he replied.
"Yes, but why?" I huffed. While the very sight of him had my heart rate galloping faster than the horses pulling the stage, he was going to ruin everything.
"To see a man about a horse."
I didn't believe that reason for a minute. "Really?"
"I'm taking the stage there, and hopefully, if I am satisfied, riding the animal home. You look as if you doubt me."
I pursed my lips.
"I do run a horse ranch."
His bent knees bumped into mine when the stage lurched in a deep rut. I shifted so we would not touch, under the guise of settling into our journey. He grinned at my action, and I hated that dratted dimple formed in his right cheek. How could the man be so handsome, so ruggedly appealing, while I wanted to hurl myself across the small distance between us and strangle him? A crease ringed his hair where his hat had been, and I wanted to run my fingers through the dark locks to remove it. Then I'd run my hands down his cheeks to feel the rasp of his whiskers. He trained my body to respond to his every presence, his voice, even his manly scent. We'd kissed. Oh, we'd most definitely kissed. And done a few other unseemly things in the few months he'd been calling on me. Just thinking of them made me feel warm all over. I also wanted to kick him in the shin for interfering with my plans.
"You never mentioned you were making a trip when I saw you the other night," he countered.
I sniffed. I didn't see reason.
"I had my tongue in your mouth and my hand on your breast. That gives me reason, Sugar Plum."
"I am not your Sugar Plum," I snapped. The breeze loosened a curl from its pins and I batted it off my face. "And your hand was not on my breast. It was on my dress." We'd been courting since the spring, even though we'd known each other since the schoolroom. He'd even recently asked me to marry him, which I'd quickly refused. He didn't back away as I'd expected, instead continuing his pursuit with more vim than before. Even with my negative response, he'd kissed me, and I'd let him. With every visit, with every quiet ride, he'd asked for my hand again and kissed me some more, and I'd let him again and again. He'd even placed his hands upon my person, but only over my dress. I may have made it seem to be of no importance, but it was everything. His touch, his attentions, his unwavering interest was what made me breathe. I just couldn't let him know that.
"We're alone for the next 2 hours, and you want to argue over hand placement?"
He slid down the seat an inch or two, settling in, his legs widening, most likely trying to find comfort in the confined space.
"I can think of much more enjoyable ways to pass the time."